Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
We're back. It's episode 90 of the Brunch and Judge.
It's 90.
It's the 90s.
That's the year I moved to London.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Cool.
And the first year of the Chicken Festival.
Wow, that's a very specific thing to know, Claire.
Because it was the first year I moved to London. That's why
I mean,
I know that.
sure. Okay.
I
I couldn't have told you that. I would have said it had just always existed because it feels like it has always
mean, that's
existed.
it does feel like it has always existed because it has always existed for me, so
That's fair. Well, welcome everyone to this week's episode where we are going to be talking about badass women in history.
right.
What?
And
And we are your hosts. I'm April.
I'm Claire.
And we're excited. I'm excited. I've been holding on to this story for a long time. So I'm
I'm
excited to finally
excited
get
to.
to like use it
No, I'm
and
excited to
tell
hear
it.
yours.
Yay. But first, before we get into it, Claire, what are you
Yes.
judging this week?
Okay, so yesterday it was Sunday. And a friend and I went to do Parade of Homes, where they, you go and you look at all the rich, swanky houses that have been built over the past year to either get like remodeling ideas or like if you're building a house, like decorating, that kind of stuff, Anyway,
Sure, sure.
we just like being nosy, being in all these swanky houses, see what they've done. Anyway,
Sure.
so. The majority of them are like really new. Like some of them were like for sale. Like nobody had moved in them
Right.
yet. There was one house that the builder built it for him and his family. And I don't know that they had actually like moved in yet. I mean, it looked like they really hadn't. It still looked fairly staged. Like,
Okay.
there was one house that a family actually like lived in. Like it looked like it had been lived in. Like there was.
Oh, okay.
I get they've been living there for a while, and boy, oh boy, did they make some choices when it came to decorating.
They
Damn.
made choices.
Choice.
Okay.
It was a choice. It
It
was
was
a
a choice,
choice.
and they sure made it.
They sure did. Like the living room was this kind of like mustard yellow. It was open floor plan, so it was like living room, kitchen was all kind of one space.
Sure.
But it was like all the molding was black. It was
Oh.
very dark in
Huh.
there. And they had these two accent chair things on either side of like this giant ass fireplace that was also black. That reminded me of the carriages that you ride in the Haunted Mansion.
Oh.
Like the big like doom
Yeah.
buggies with the big dome thing.
Huh.
It was like, where does one collect such furniture? Like what is this, sir? And in the bedroom, the master bedroom, they had these curtains that had a pattern of like it looked jungly themed but had tigers and peacocks on it.
Oh, okay.
It was like, what is happening with these curtains?
Sure. I
Yeah.
mean,
And but
okay.
in the bathroom, they had like a shower with glass, like a stand-up shower with the glass in the door or whatever. And the tile in that was all patterned, but it was actually kind of cool. And I was like, it was just in the shower. It wasn't like the whole bathroom. So that was kind of neat because it was just like this little accent corner with the
Yeah.
shower. They had a clawfoot tub, which I thought of you because I was like, oh, April loves her clawfoot tubs, which
Dreams.
was underneath this window. But sitting in the windowsill was this statue. This little like Greek looking statue thing that would look like it could, I don't even know if this is real. I don't know. Anyway, it was two naked men fighting, wrestling, and the other one was like kind of draped over the other guy's back, but he had wrapped himself around him and was like grabbing his dick. And I was like, what? What? Like just sitting on the windowsill above the bathtub.
It
And I'm like,
is
what is this?
a strange place, one, to just
We'll
'cause
throw
it's not
the
like
picture up for you so
and it's
you
not
can
like a
see.
big window sill. Like it's not like some big deep thing with lots of stuff on it. It's literally a normal window sill with this random
Yeah.
statue on it. And
A
that's it.
tiny statue, mind you. This isn't like, it's like, what, why is this there? I was like, I need to take a picture of this and send this to April because what is this? Anyway, so then as we continue on our jaunt around this house, you know, like I said, some bold colors that are like, what is up with this? Anyway, we get to this like half bathroom and it's wallpaper and it's like this busy ass wallpaper and I'm like start looking at it and it's like the wildest pattern of wallpaper I have ever seen in my life. Like I can't, there was like some kind of like horse on it and then some like mask looking faces and then there's like some kind of, I don't know, guy who's like upside down, but then you could look like sort of almost see his intestines. It looks very like Middle Eastern, I guess, would be like the best way to describe it. But then there's also like this kind of clown face where it looks like he's got like several tongues coming out of his mouth. April will throw this up so you can see what
Sure
I'm talking
will.
about.
Gotta share the
And then there are
nightmare.
like some black birds on it, and it's just like, what is happening? And there's some skeletons. I mean, it's just like, I'm like, why would you choose that as like a permanent thing and for your half bath? Because it's so small, you know, and it, the paper, I mean, like the wallpaper itself is like just kind of dark looking. You're just like, what is
Well,
happening
it's one of
with
those
all of this?
you
Like,
look at it
what?
and you're like, that seems like a lot in design. And then you look at
Right.
it and then you look at it and then you look at it and you're like, oh
Yeah.
God, who chose
And
this?
so I sent it to somebody else and I was like showing her like this, you know, the wallpaper and she responds with, where the fuck even are you? Do you feel safe? Do you need to call upon the name of Jesus? Because I was just like, yeah, right.
Jesus will save you. It's okay.
So, yeah, I was just like, what? I mean, you all just need to see this wallpaper to
That is.
fully appreciate what is going on.
Well.
Anyway, I'm just kind of, and not that being like super judgy, but still, it was just like, what is happening here, people? Like,
And especially after all the other houses that, were had this very normal looking elegance, or they're going for like someone to come spend the money, and you're like,
right.
that's a nice finish. I see how you went with, the granite here or whatever. But then you get to this house and
Right.
you're like, so we went a different way.
Right. And I guess it's because they weren't trying to sell it. They already
Right.
live there.
It's
You know,
true.
you're just.
I feel like when they decide to sell that place, they'll probably change out the wallpaper.
Oh, they'll have to because, or yeah, do something because it's just like, what? Because I feel like, because we've been doing this parade of homes. They do it every year. And we go every year to see all the fancy new houses. And there for a while, it was like the trend was everything was gray.
Yes.
Now it's back to white, but then there were like accent walls. So it's like a whole room would be white, but then usually like the bedroom, like the wall behind the bed was like the accent wall and it was a different color.
I
Or it's
did
like the
that years and
wall,
years ago.
right? And then there was like, or if it's like the living room, the wall with the fireplace. And like the fireplace part was like the accent part. You know, we're gonna paint it a different color. And then, you know, these like minimalist looking like lighting fixtures that didn't have glass. It's like they have like the stuff where the glass could go, but there's like no glass in there. It's just all like pieces, like, you know, the wire part or whatever with like brass or silver or whatever it was. You know, I'm just like, I don't know. They all look the same. But then that one house kind of stuck out because it definitely was not cookie cutter as far as, you know, everything else. But it was just like, this is interesting. This is a choice. This is a choice indeed. Yes.
That
Anyway.
definitely sounds like fun.
Yes. But again, you know, they live there. That's their deal. Who am I to judge? You know, I'm sure people would be like, if I decorated my own like
I mean,
big ass
fair.
fancy house, $500,000 home, you know, I'm sure people would come in and be like,
Yep.
that was
Hmm.
But yes, anyway, that was, yeah, we opened that bathroom and it was like, whoa, wow. Anyway, so
That is
that
an
was my
excellent
judgment,
judge.
was just like, A, all the houses seem kind of like the same house after a while, just because they were all decorated just kind of the same way, painted, you know, the same way. But then that house was like not the same at all. I don't even know that there was a white wall in that house,
Oh,
to
yeah.
be honest.
Fair.
I can't even remember there being like a white wall in that place. So, and I think they had like several children. They had, yeah, because there were like several bedrooms and all of them were occupied with different children's names and stuff like that. So it was just like all the children. But
Well, I
anyway.
mean, that's cool. That's cool. It reminds me when I went with my parents to the Mark Twain house, and in one of the bedrooms, it had the most amazing buzz bee wallpaper. It was a little too real. I mean,
Oh, okay.
but like it was really pretty. Obviously, it's something that they had replaced. It's not original to the house, but it was
Right,
once
right.
there. But the thing that was more disconcerting is that they had also wallpapered the ceiling in a different bee wallpaper. So
Oh.
it was beads
Oh.
everywhere. And they like it
Yeah,
was
no.
a room that was sometimes used as like a guest room. And I'm like, is this to keep people from staying too long? Because their rooms
Right.
are haunted with buzzing, but whatever.
Right.
But yeah, cool wallpaper choice. I don't think I'd want it. Talking about
No.
the one you saw, I'm like, it's cool. Pass.
Right. No. Not all. But anyway, that's my judge. Just the parade of homes and that whole, you know, like, okay. Like he said, it's some of the stuff comes around and keeps, you know, you're just like, oh, that was popular like 15 years ago. Yeah. So that's my judge.
What a good judge, Claire. Thank you.
You're welcome. So what are you judging?
I am judging. Spencer and I finished The Fall of the House of Usher.
Oh, it was so good.
It was, have you, did you watch it all? Have you
I've
finished
seen
it?
it all, yes.
Nice. Oh my God. So I will give nothing away because I don't like to spoil things for people.
Right.
But what I want to judge in the best possible light that I possibly can is that each episode is titled a different Poe short story. And they, even though it's obviously not following the story to the letter, like
Right.
all of the main points are there, and it is
Right.
fascinating. And I enjoyed it so much that I can't
Same.
even stand it. And the one thing that I will give away is in like the last episode, there, I'm not gonna say what's happening, but they go through the pictures looking for this person that they're trying to figure out. And I swear to God, when they put down a picture of Mitch McConnell, I died laughing so hard. I was like,
Right.
oh God, please, please, please take him from the
I know, right?
earth. So
Right.
I snorted so hard. I thought it was so amazing. But Spencer and I were talking about how we thought this one, although it's not our favorite one, it's hard to beat out Hill House because it just was
It was the
so, it
first
was the first and
in.
it was so different and it's everything I want and that the house is bad.
Right.
But we decided that this one was some of the best acting that we had seen from any of them. Like it, they were truly on their shit. So
Yes.
loved it. Loved it.
I
Loved
was
it.
telling mom about it, and I was like, there were just so many things in it that like gave nods to like other Edgar Allan Poe things. And
Yeah.
even though there wasn't an episode like truly dedicated to like Cask of Amontillado, like there's
nods and things here and there.
And I
Yeah.
was like, because
Thank you.
I don't know why, but that's like one of my favorites. The guy who just like, you scorned me. I'm gonna wall you up. I'm gonna trick you and I'm gonna wall you up, buddy. I don't know why, but that's like one of my favorites. And I guess it's because Dad read that one a lot to his students, and so he read it to us, which is kind of morbid. But it's one of my favorites.
It is that particular dread of like being bricked up, you know.
Right.
And that's something that Pope dealt, you know, played with multiple times, which that's disturbing. But no. I'm with you. I loved it.
Because when I went through like the list of like the episode names, I was like, oh, it's not on there. But then there was a nod to it, and I was like, it made my little Edgar Allan Poe heart happy.
Yes.
I was like, ah, yes.
I was super pleased that they did the Black Cat because it's not a super well-known. But obviously one I've read a few times because, you know, cats.
Right.
But I was just like, oh.
I know.
But yes. So to anyone who hasn't watched it yet, if you are a Poe fan, like you enjoy the stories, you will enjoy this series. It's not, I mean, there are some jump scare things that are just there to startle you, but it's not super scary.
Scary in
But it's very clever, very well done. It has become my second favorite of all of them.
I really enjoyed it. I did. I was just like, this is so good.
But also be on a lookout for Mitch McConnell's photo.
Yes.
And
laugh also because I've had a couple people tell me this, that they were like, I didn't realize that that guy was Mark Hamill. And so like,
yes,
at least an episode or two in. And I was like,
I probably
that's
wouldn't have.
So funny.
I probably wouldn't have. But Spencer said it immediately. He's like, oh, there's Mark Hamill. And I was like, oh, yeah, that is him. Huh?
Right.
But what cracks me the most is that the guy who plays Roderick Usher as the old man.
Right.
Plays in a TV show called The Resident, in which he is a doctor.
Nice.
And like, it's something that I only just recently started sort of watching because I was intrigued that it has the guy that played Logan Huntsberger in Gilmore Girls is like one of the main, or is like the main guy, I guess.
Yeah.
And it also has the chick who played Emily Thorne in Revenge a million years ago. And I really enjoyed that. So I'm like, well, I'm curious. So I watched it. But so anyway, so he's in it. And in the early seasons or early episodes, they call him Hodad, Hands of Death and Destruction, because he's such a shitty surgeon.
Wow.
And like his character does like a big 180 and becomes a good guy as the show progresses.
Right.
But it was so weird because like when we started watching House of Usher, he's like talking and he is essentially the guy who basically created the opioid crisis. I mean, they're
right.
It's not a very, it's obviously the Sacklers or Sackler, right? Sacklers.
Sacklers, yes.
I said it and it didn't sound right anymore.
No, and I love that they did that too, that they made them like the bad guys and
yes,
the whole like made the drug Ligodone.
Yep.
And it was just, you know, it was
it
like
was,
everything about that was to
it
me
was
was
nice.
Very clever and like, I see what you're doing.
Well, and I appreciated them like calling out essentially these people who seem to be pure evil and getting away with it.
Right.
And I like there's some great monologues in there that some of them have. Like it's truly a particularly excellent show. So yes, please go watch it, everyone. I loved it. We finished it last night. So
nice.
I'm still thinking about it.
Yes. I just blew through it because I was like, I think in like 3 days or something, I was like, oh, it's so good. Oh
yes.
My gosh.
Yes. I believe tonight or tomorrow night, tomorrow's Halloween.
Yes.
We're going to watch Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh my gosh. Five
Which,
Nights at Freddy's.
Which, guys, if that's not your jam, because I don't know yet. I don't know what it's about. There is this really great knockoff of Five Nights at Freddy's. Like, it's absolutely a knockoff that they did with Nicolas Cage.
What?
From, like, 2021. Like, it's not old, and it's called like something at, it's like something at Willy's, Weekend at Willy's, or oh God, sorry, I have to look this up now because we accidentally watched it. Okay. Let me find it. Okay, let's see. I love that Nicolas Cage will do literally anything.
Anything,
It
yep.
is my favorite thing about him. Willy's Wonderland is what it's called.
Willy's
Willy's
Wonderland.
Wonderland. And it's totally a knockoff of the Five Nights at Freddy's story because it's literally the same thing as like the Chuck E. Cheese things are possessed. And
Right.
so one day a year, the townspeople, in order to keep them from coming out and killing them all, will basically lock someone in with them. And they always get like a drifter, like, oh, hey, if you clean it up, or get the place cleaned up, we'll come back in the morning, we'll pay you. And then in theory, they would get murdered. But in this one is Nicolas Cage. And he has, guess how many lines he has in this movie, Claire?
I don't know, like two.
Zero. He doesn't say a single word the entire movie. It is
Are you
magical.
shitting me?
It is
That's
magical.
hilarious.
It's hilarious. And so, like, he basically just kills them all. I mean, a group of teens come in to try and save him because they're trying to stop the, it's a whole big thing or whatever. And so they all die basically because it's a horror movie. But it's
Right.
hilarious and it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Please go watch it, everyone. It's not old and it's amazing. So I'm hoping that Five Nights at Freddy's holds up to the magic that that movie
Willy's
truly was.
Wonderland does.
Willy's Wonderland. And it's, I'm like, did Nicolas Cage be like, all right, I tell you what, I will take a lower salary if I don't have any lines? And
Right. I
they
don't
were
want to
like,
talk.
bet.
I know, right? Like, I don't want to have to say anything.
So.
Just let me, like, fight these things and go home.
So it's hilarious.
That sounds amazing.
Definitely watch it. It's funny. But anyway, so there you have it. Those are my judges.
I love it.
It's a very positive judge. What can I say?
Right.
All
Love it.
right.
Yes.
It's time to get into it. Claire, what badass woman in history did you bring us this week?
I'm gonna be talking about, and don't at me because I didn't look up the pronunciation. Ha. Called. Her name is Kutaloon. And she's known as the wrestling princess.
Oh, well, all right then.
Yes. So she was born in around 1260. Not like totally for sure, but anyway.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's like super old school. Got it.
Yes. Her dad's name was Kaidu Khan. He and she's the great great granddaughter of Genghis Khan.
Oh, well, then, okay.
Yes. And her name means bright moon. Or all white, depending on how you translate it. Anyway, she is the youngest of 15 children and
Damn.
the only girl. She had 14 older brothers.
Wow.
And she was her dad's
Well,
favorite.
yes.
Yes. And
This poor
so
baby.
I know, yes. So he trained her exactly like he trained the older brothers. Like he was like, we're not going to treat you any differently. And so to be a Mongol warrior, she learned how to ride horses, shoot a bow and arrow, use a sword, and wrestle and do hand-to-hand combat. And so she descended from Genghis Khan, and he was known as the father of the Mongols, and said that he fathered over 40 sons, and that's not counting his illegitimate children. Somebody was busy. I want to know. I want to know.
Okay.
You fathered that many children. How did you even have time to go fight? Like, and go, like, conquer all this business? I want to know.
Well, see, you're assuming that like he needed that he took time and
He took time.
it wasn't just a one and done. I mean, we don't know. We don't know these things. We don't know what his life was like.
That's true. That's true. Well, no, I mean, like, yeah, it could like one and done. Like, I mean, yeah, he didn't have to sleep with these women like multiple times to get pregnant. I realize that, but still,
I
like,
just mean like some people, they just like one stroke and that's it.
Oh, geez. Oh, wow. Yeah. Anyway, I just feel like there's an awful lot of intercourse
Yes, it
to be
is.
having.
It seems an obscene amount. You're correct.
It's excessive. I feel like it's excessive. Anyway, so he single-handedly made the Mongol Empire the strongest army in the world at the time.
Because he literally produced half of the army, is that what we're saying?
I mean, probably. And
Oh,
that's why his descendants ruled for so long after his death, because he had so many.
it's like, well, it doesn't matter that my 18 older brothers died because I'm next and there's 20 more after me, so we're fine.
I mean, yes, right.
Gross.
I know, it is so gross. Kaidu relied more on Kutulun in battle than any of her brothers.
Ooh.
Oh, and so whenever he went to a fight, especially with his and some of, oh, sorry, my sources were Medium, historynaked.com, and atlasobscura.com. Anyway, and so some of them said cousin and some said uncle. So I'm not sure which one it is. Kublai
Maybe
Khan.
both,
Maybe.
because it's
Anyway,
weird.
so whenever he went to battle with cousin slash uncle Kublai Khan, that he would take her over any of her brothers because she was better than they were. Like, just hands down better. And that she could ride on her horse and just go into battle and just pick people up and take captives like that. Like, she was just that good at it.
Well, all right then.
Yeah. So he always turned to her for all his battle stuff. And apparently, Marco Polo wrote about her in his journals and said that she was so well made in all her limbs and so tall and strongly built that she might be taken for a giantess.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So
So
she impressed Marco Polo.
she's tall
Yeah, yep.
and strong.
And
Okay.
then a 13th, 14th century Arab historian named Rashid al-Din said that she often went on military campaigns where she performed valiant deeds with her father. So, I mean, there are people who are writing about her. So, this isn't like made up shit. She's documented. Okay. So, because of her striking beauty and unmatched strength, she was pursued by many suitors.
Fair.
Yeah. And they're all like vying for her attention by doing like stupid shit, you know, like the redneck, like, hey, look at, or hey, look at this,
Right.
attempting like all kinds of ridiculous feats. And she's like, I don't give a shit. And so her dad, Kaidu, he was anxious for her to find a husband, and Kutulu, not so much. She's like,
I don't want to
I'm a
do that.
strong, independent woman. I don't need no man. Like,
That's right.
that really was her mindset. And so she made a deal with her dad that the man who could beat her at wrestling, at a wrestling match, could marry her. That was the deal.
This is a very brave Merida kind of a story. I'm here for it.
Absolutely.
Go for
It
it.
is. It really is. And, but if he lost, then he had to give her 100 horses.
Ooh, so she's about to have thousands of horses. Got it.
Yes. So, and Mongols were nomads, and so horses basically equaled wealth at that point. So that's why it was horses. Many attempted and many failed, having to fork over 100 horses to her. So, with every loss. So, and then there was one guy, and he was a cocky son of a bitch. He wagered 1,000 horses
Idiot.
because he was sure that he would win. And this guy, her parents actually liked this guy. I mean, I guess he was considered a good guy. And so they went to her and they begged her to throw the match
Oh.
because they were like, he's actually a good guy. We like him. I guess he would have been like a good husband as far as like politically or something like that. And so they begged her to throw the match. Spoiler alert, she did not. So she got 1,000 horses with that guy. And according to Marco Polo, Her herds were estimated to be around 10,000,
Damn.
which was equal to what the emperor had.
Oh my God.
So, yes, I know. She never lost. She never lost a wrestling match. But, however, people suck. And due to her refusal to get married, started to start rumors that she was having an incestuous relationship with her dad.
I mean, fair. It is
Yeah.
1200, whatever.
Right. So, due to the rumors, Cuddalune did everything. She did eventually marry. And, but it wasn't because she lost a wrestling match. It
Right.
was just because people suck.
She was like, God, if you're going to talk about it all the time, fine.
I know. They kind of forced her hand.
I'll take a guy.
Yeah.
But he's
But
cleaning, I'm
there's
cooking.
like confusion over who she actually married. Said that it could have been either like a father's friend from another clan, a Khan from Persia, or there's a story about an assassin sent from Kublai Khan who failed and was captured and was waiting to be executed, who like caught her eye and she fell in love with him, blah, blah, blah.
You
Anyway,
were
so she said,
going to kill me, but now I love
yeah, he
you.
wasn't going to kill her. He was going to kill her dad.
You were going to kill my father, but now
Yeah.
I love you.
I know. Like, I'm like, this is bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
But it sounds like an erotic romance novel.
It does. Like a enemies to lovers kind of
Enemies to
thing.
lovers.
Yep. Kaidu died in 1301, but before he passed, he tried very hard to make Cuddalune his heir. Not allowed because patriarchy sucks.
Of course.
And yes. So two of her brothers, Shapar and Duwa, contested, and Duwa was ultimately crowned the Great Khan. So her brother got it over
The
her.
Great Con.
I know, right?
Okay.
I know, right? And Cuddalune lived 5 more years after that. She died, it was like either from battle or an assassination. And there was one that suggested that her brother may have like sent the
Probably.
assassin
I mean,
because he was jealous,
well,
obviously.
and she probably was, being all shifty,
Yeah, right.
being a woman who would just do whatever the fuck she wanted.
I
Can't
know.
have
She's a
that.
witch. She's a witch. Yeah. And so, like, she died, and it was like her story was kind of like all but like buried with her. But a French guy named Francois Petit Delacroix discovered her story while he was researching for a book on Genghis Khan.
Oh, okay.
I guess he found some of the stuff that Marco Polo had written and then that other guy had written. And so in 1710, he wrote Turandot or The Turkish Daughter. But why people do this shit, I don't know. He changed her story where the suitors solved riddles instead of winning wrestling matches.
Why?
I know, right? And then later, the Turandot got turned into an opera by Puccini in the early 1900s.
Okay.
But Puccini took that story and made an opera by it. But now, and all even back then, and even to now, Mongolia, like their main sport is wrestling. Like that's what they're known for. Like talked about, like in the Olympics, like the majority of their gold medals were won in wrestling.
Oh, okay.
And that even now, to prove that they're like, especially the male wrestlers, obviously, that they wrestle with like a bare chest to prove that they're a man in honor of her because she was like the best wrestler ever. But anyway,
Okay.
but they still like wrestle to honor her because they still uphold that because she was the best wrestler
She
ever.
was the best.
She
Wow.
was.
I have never heard of that ever in my life. That's really
I
cool.
had not either, and I was like, what?
I'm like, damn.
Yes. And that is the story of Cuddalune, the wrestling princess.
Very cool. Thank you.
And I'm like, Genghis Khan, man. Like, had all the children and then actually had a pretty cool descendant that was like, what?
That was like, I am woman, hear me, kick your ass.
Ass, right, yes. And I just hate that it's like she was forced to get married just because
Yeah.
people are stupid.
But it's also like in the time, it would have been too weird for her not to. Obviously,
Yeah.
hence the rumors.
Right. And so they surmise that she might have been like around 40-ish or so, 46-ish, somewhere around in there when she'd passed. So, or when she was killed, I
When her
guess.
brother had her assassinated.
Or, yeah, or she just mysteriously died in battle. You
Either
know,
way.
one of those.
Eh.
But she, I feel like that's pretty badass, the fact that she never lost a wrestling match. And refuse to throw one just because it's like, no, I'm not doing this shit.
Well, and like, I guess what frustrates me is that, she could have been like, no, but I will marry him after I beat him, It's like
Right.
if that's the right whatever in the time in which that matters, it's like, fuck it,
Right.
why not? But they'd still be, I'd be like, but they're still my 1,000 horses. They're not his.
Right. Yes, absolutely. They are mine.
They're
But
mine.
yes, I was like, that's kind of a cool story in a way. I was like,
Yeah, I like that she was like, I don't want to get married. I just want to do battle and wrestle and, kick
Right.
ass. So.
And yes, definitely. Anyway, that's my story.
Was a great story, Claire. Thank you. So I guess it's my turn.
It is your turn. What story did you bring us?
I bring you the story of Nellie Bly.
Nellie Bly.
Nellie Bly. I got all of my information from the National Women's History Museum, Wikipedia, and Biography. Okay, so Nellie Bly was actually born
I've heard this
Elizabeth
name.
Jane Cochran. And she
Okay.
was born May 5th, 1864. She's a Taurus.
Okay.
She was the 13th daughter of her father, who had 15 children, so weird.
That now that's
Weird. It's a weird
bizarre.
connection.
That is a weird connection.
But
We weren't the same on timelines, but we're the same on the amount of children, and that's bizarre.
So she was the 13th daughter of her father. They're a total of 15, but her mother was the second wife. So the first wife had
Okay.
10, the second wife had 5. But Daddy Dear had 15.
Wow.
As she got older, she went to Indiana Normal School, which is now the Indiana University of Pennsylvania. But at this point, her dad died when she was like 6, and
Okay.
so didn't leave a will. It was hard for them to claim what they needed, so she didn't
Right.
have a lot of funds and was forced to drop out after a semester. She was wanting to be a teacher, but everything sucks.
Yes.
So in 1885, she finds herself living in Pittsburgh with her mother, running a boarding house, when a column in the Pittsburgh Dispatch came that was published, and she read it, and it was titled, What Girls Are Good For?
Oh boy. I can't wait to hear this.
In which the writer stated that girls were basically ruining the work environment and that they existed principally to birth children and keep house.
Boo. Rude. Rude.
Agreed. So Elizabeth felt the same way. She was like,
Yeah.
fuck you. And she wrote a response under the pseudonym Lonely Orphan Girl. And the editor of the Pittsburgh Dispatch, named George Madden, was so impressed by her writing that he ran an advertisement in the paper asking for the author to identify herself.
Ah.
And so she did, and he offered her the opportunity to write another piece. So she wrote a piece titled The Girl Puzzle. in which she argued that not all women would get married, and so
Right.
there needed to be better jobs for women who do stay in the workforce and need to provide for their families, you know, for themselves, for their families, for
Right.
whatever.
Yep.
And
Excellent. You go, girl.
I don't know, she's pretty kick ass. And so she ended up being asked to write another article that she titled Mad Marriages, in which she talked about how divorce affected women and argued for reform when it came to divorce laws.
Yes.
By this point,
Absolutely.
she was being published under the pseudonym Nellie Bly instead of Lonely Orphan Girl.
Nice. Okay.
So it was customary at this time that women who wrote for newspapers write under a pseudonym. So that was very normal. She chose Nellie Bly after the Stephen Foster song.
Nice.
So
I dig it.
she did so well that she ended up being given a full-time job by the newspaper, which, wow.
Wow. Right? That's like unheard of back then for women. Yeah.
Yes. So she mostly wrote on the lives of working women. She did a series of articles of women who worked in factories and pointing out the bad shit happening there, but the men owners got all mad and complained, so she ended up getting
Wah.
reassigned
Wah.
and did the normal garbage they usually gave women and covered fashion and gardening.
Ugh, gag.
And so she was like, ugh, not what I want to do.
Right.
This is not me. So at the age of 21, she ends up traveling to Mexico to serve as a foreign correspondent. By the way, unheard of for a woman to do
What?
this.
Right?
So she spends 6 months reporting on the lives and customs of Mexican people, but also
Wow.
like under the dictatorship of, I forget who it was, the guy in charge, irrelevant. But at one point, she manages to piss off the Mexican government because she's writing articles protesting how a local journalist had been put in prison because he had
Right.
criticized the government. And so they find out that she's writing about that. And so she has to flee before she gets imprisoned as well, because, you know.
Right.
So she comes back, and again, they're trying to give her the women's beat of fashion and whatever. And she doesn't, she's like,
She's like,
no,
no, I don't want that. Yeah.
this is not who I am. This is not what I do. So she ends up going to New York City and basically goes in and asks every freaking newspaper in the town, like, to give her a chance. And she finally barges her way in, basically, to Joseph Pulitzer's New York World newspaper,
Wow.
in which she proposes writing one thing, and he's like, you know what? I got something better for you. An undercover assignment.
Ooh, undercover.
Undercover. So she agrees to feign insanity in order to investigate the reports of brutality and neglect at the Women's Lunatic Asylum on Blackwell Island.
What?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Like,
So,
because I feel like that shit, like, once you go in, you ain't coming out.
yes, there is that. So she checks herself into a boarding house called Temporary Homes for Females, where she made herself stay up all night so that she would have like that wide-eyed look and start, you know,
Yeah.
with the dark circles and start looking kind of disturbed. She started making accusations that the other boarders were insane. She would say things like, there are so many crazy people about, and no one can never tell what they will do. But she refused to go to bed and was intentionally scaring the other boarders until finally the like matron, landlord, whatever you want to call it,
Right.
ended up calling the police, who took her to the courthouse where she was examined by a police officer, a judge, and a doctor, and was taken to Blackwell Island. So
Wow. That's extreme. That's
she spent,
hardcore.
it is. So she spent 10 days in the asylum, and she was released because New York World came and demanded that she be released. So, like,
wow.
So there's that. She wrote a 6-part series called 10 Days in the Madhouse, in which she described the abysmal conditions at the facility, the physical abuse that was suffered by the patients.
Right.
They were forced to eat spoiled food. She described
That's
rotten meat
disgusting.
And like stale and moldy bread, and said that sometimes the water they were given was contaminated water. So like people were getting
Oh,
really sick.
God.
They lived in really squalid conditions because the asylum was built to hold 1,000 patients. But when she was there, there were 1,600.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And there had been a bunch of budget cuts, so there were only 16 doctors on staff, which meant each doctor had 100 patients.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. Only 16 doctors. Oh
Only
my.
16
How
doctors.
do you even? Yeah, like.
She
Yuck.
said that patients were forced to take ice baths, and then they would just be left in their wet clothes for hours.
Ew.
Which, again, led to frequent illness.
Right.
They were forced to sit on benches without speaking or moving for like 12 hours or more. It's like, sit here, don't speak, don't move, whatever. Some of the patients were tethered together with ropes and forced to pull carts around like they were mules.
Oh my gosh.
Anybody who complained were beaten. Some of the women specifically were threatened with sexual violence by,
Oh,
you know,
of course.
the evil,
Yeah.
vicious assholes who worked there.
Right. I mean, I would expect nothing less, you know.
And on top of all, many of the inmates, if not most of them in the asylum, were not insane, but were people who just kind of fell through cracks. So they were mostly like
Right.
immigrants and mostly women who couldn't communicate, so they couldn't answer things. And so they just got
Okay.
shipped there because no one knew what else to do with them.
Wow.
Or they were people who were poor and so didn't have any family who could help support them. So they were sent to this place. And even though they weren't insane, they were still treated as
Like,
if they
yes.
were. So, like, she is writing about this firsthand experience that she
Right.
experienced. And I mean, rightly so, like, New York was outraged. And it an investigation occurred that was led by the assistant district attorney. And it led
Yeah.
to more funding. It led to.
Surprised it didn't lead to being shut down. I
To
mean, gosh.
more physician appointments, stronger supervision of nurses and healthcare workers, more regulations to prevent things like overcrowding and, you know, fire hazards. If you have that many people in, you can't get them out.
Right.
And so, like, her doing that changed really how New York dealt with asylums and how they dealt, because at that point, their charitable organizations like to help people who were like super poor or like whatever
Right.
was in the same department as prison. So
Okay.
they broke that apart.
Yeah, so it's like, no, it's not the same.
So, you know, it led to a lot of changes and it made things a lot better for a lot of people. And so that is a super big positive, because until then people had no idea how horrible the conditions really truly
Right.
were in these places. And this stunt led into what we now know of as investigative journalism. It didn't really exist before this.
Okay.
And so at that point, she continued to write about other issues. She talked about the corruption within the state legislature and the unscrupulous employment agencies for domestic workers. She did a story on the black market that existed to buy infants. So,
Oh
like,
my gosh.
So like she went deep. And then in 1888, she's, I guess, feeling a little bit bored with her life. And so she suggests to her editor that she should, in fact, try to attempt traveling the world in 80 days. Because the book Around the World in 80 Days had been published about 15 years previous. And she's like,
yeah,
it's a work of fiction, but what if? Let's see if we can do it.
yeah.
And he agrees. And so the next year she left on November 14th, 1889 at 9:40 a.m. to begin her 24,898-mile journey around the world. And it was like a big, huge contest where like the readers were asked to try and estimate to the second, like how long it would take her. And
Okay.
whoever was the closest won the grand prize of a trip to Europe plus spending money, which was huge.
Wow. Yeah.
It's 1889. Whoa.
Right.
So on her trip, she went to England and France, where she met with Jules Verne about his book. She went through Brindisi, the Suez Canal, Colombo, the Straits settlements of Penang, never heard of, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Japan. She traveled by horse, by rickshaw, by burro, by sampan, and by other vehicles. And it took her just over 72 days.
Wow.
So she traveled almost entirely alone on this trip, which again, kind of unheard of.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And when she returned, she held the world record for traveling the world in the least amount of time. Although she only was able to hold on to it for a few months, because once she did it, a guy was like, I can do it faster. And so George Francis Train did it in 67 days. Whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, nobody cares.
But so
you weren't the first. Shut it.
And she wrote like lots of pieces. It was a really big deal for the newspaper about her experiences
right.
and everything. Later on in life, she decided to kind of leave journalism behind a little bit because I think she was starting to get more like women's issue crap again, which,
yeah,
you know, whatever. And so she ends up becoming a novelist, and she wrote about Eva the Adventuress, which was based on the real life trial of Eva Hamilton. She ended up writing 11 novels in total. She then gets married to Robert Seaman, who is a millionaire manufacturer, so good on her. But are you ready for this, Claire?
Yes.
She was 31 when she got married, and he was 73.
Ew.
Right?
Ew.
So, due to his failing health, she ended up leaving writing behind and became
I
the
feel like
head.
that's a marriage of convenience. That's like a
Yeah. Yeah.
for whom I'm not sure, but yeah.
Well, he was old, and so his health was failing. And so she ended up leaving writing behind in order to become the head of Ironclad Manufacturing Company, which was his company. And she actually became an inventor, and designed and patented a new milk can, as well as a stacking garbage can and like some other things. But like, she was like, oh, you know, I can fix this. But in the end,
wow.
her husband died, and she kind of neglected the business and missed the fact that a factory manager was embezzling so much, and Ironclad eventually went bankrupt. And so she went back to journalism, her first true love. And so she ended up covering the women's suffrage procession of 1913, in which she wrote an article called Suffragists Are Men's Superiors.
Yes.
Not wrong. And she accurately predicted that it would be 1920 before women had the right to vote.
Nice.
She also wrote stories on Europe's Eastern Front during World War I. She was the first woman and one of the first foreigners to visit the war zone between Serbia and Austria. And she was arrested because she was mistaken for a British spy. So she still had quite an illustrious
Wow.
journalism career after basically living a whole life. She did die at the age of 57 on January 27th, 1922, from pneumonia, which is sad because she had lived this crazy, amazing life.
I know, right?
In 1998, she was inducted in the National Women's Hall of Fame. In 2002, she was one of four journalists who were honored by being on a U.S. postage stamp in the Women in Journalism set. And there is a Cub Reporter Journalism Award that is named after her, the Nellie Bly Award, for a journalist who has, put in gone above and beyond supreme
Right.
effort with someone who has 3 years or less of professional experience to kind of honor how great she was and what she did without really any
Right.
education or training to do it. And the most important thing, because this is what Ellen told me when she suggested covering Nellie Bly for a story,
Yeah.
is that she has been portrayed in films and in theater, but most importantly was the inspiration for Lana Winters, played by Sarah Paulson, in American Horror Story, Asylum.
Yes.
And that is the true story of Nellie Bly, kick-ass woman journalist who was just
Yes.
like taking no shit and totally changed the way that journalism works, Like
Right.
she created a whole new form of journalism and was like, fuck it, I can do
And
it
I
too.
also love that we both chose women who were like, I'm a strong, independent woman who don't need no man.
That's right. Until I want all your millions and then I'll marry a really old guy.
Yeah, but she still didn't like need him.
No, she did not. She did not need him.
No,
So
not at all.
there you go.
That's excellent. I love that story.
Thank you. She is so cool. 'Cause like Ellen told me about her being the inspiration for that character, and I was like, well, that's cool. And then
You start looking it up and you're like,
I'm like,
wait a
and then I
minute.
read about the around the world trip, and I'm like, holy fuck. But then I'm reading about how she got started by just replying to this asshole, writing a misogynistic piece of shit. And I'm like,
Right.
what? Love, can't stand this. It's
I know,
amazing.
right?
So, yes, loved her. Very cool. She is going on my list of people to like admire. I have a
I
list
feel
of.
like she's like up there with like Agatha Christie.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Maybe better. Agatha Christie probably wouldn't go stay in an insane asylum for 10 days, but she did disappear for like 10
For
days
yes.
and just fake the whole amnesia. I don't remember. I just woke up here. I don't know. And I'm like,
Right.
bitch, please. We all know, but it's fine. You hold
Yeah.
on to that. That can be yours.
Right.
All right. Guess that means it's time for Tarot Time with April. A spooky, spooky.
Yes.
All right, Claire.
Yes.
Tell me when to stop.
Okay.
I really need to start thinking of songs before. I used to be able to come up with stuff like crazy off the top of my head, but I can't anymore. I've lost it. Do,
Too bad
do,
we don't know I am
do,
woman, hear me roar.
do. I am woman. Hear me roar. I just love that a woman went around the world in less than 80 days first. Fuck that
Right.
other guy. Because basically it was like, oh, well, if she can do it, I can do it better. Like,
Right.
dick. You only did it because she didn't.
Yeah, you weren't even thinking about it.
No. He just got all butt hurt. A woman did it.
Stop. Right.
So annoying. Just like the brother's all butt hurt that his sister was daddy's favorite or whatever.
Exactly.
Precious little feelings. All right. This week we are starting off with the five of coins inverted.
Inverted.
Then we're moving
Mover.
on to the Emperor.
The Emperor.
And ending with the Nine of Cups. No idea what any of those mean, so.
Nope.
The Five of Coins slash Pentacles. Inverted. Here we go. Cool. So apparently things are looking up. This is in reference to having hit rock bottom, but like we didn't have that. We weren't at rock bottom. So maybe things are just looking up. That everything isn't amazing, but they're not gonna fall apart, so it's gonna be okay.
Okay, cool.
It says prayer is a big part of this card.
Interesting.
Okay. Prayer intent, whichever you'd like. I'm gonna have to go with intent, I suppose. When you pray or speak to the gods, it is traditional to be on your knees and connecting to the earth that's present in the Pentacles. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, sure.
Pentatent.
It's fine. I'm okay with that. The Emperor is very strong, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, noted.
Don't care. Don't care. This is a lot of description about a card. Someone has to make the hard decision. Someone has to decide that we're going to invade here and not there. Someone has to decide what to do in a crisis, and someone has to be that guy or nothing will be accomplished. Ew. In
That
this way, this card is John Wayne. Ew.
guy.
Ew.
Ew,
Ew.
no.
Pass. Pass.
She could have used somebody else. Why did you have to use that guy?
I hate that guy. He's going to make everything okay. He has authority, stability, and common sense. He can take care of things and make sure that tradition is carried on and that everything is safe. He's a soldier, a police officer, a fireman. He's going to take care of us. I'm going to say this is the. Can't decide. Jason Gideon or Rossi card. Like,
There you go.
that's like, we're going to get shit done. We're going to take care of it. We're just going to take care of it now.
Yeah.
It's fine now.
Let's go with Rossi. I
Yeah.
feel like Rossi was more like
Well,
a.
Rossi was there longer to know him.
Yeah.
I th always think of the Bible story about Jericho. Oh, God. God said,
Wow.
"Hey, go build a city over there." There's already a city there? Oh, hang on, I'll knock it down. Now build your city. Man, God was a dick, by the way. Like, hardcore Old Testament God, not a good guy.
Nope.
With the Emperor, it's good to remember that the difference between being an effective leader or a tyrant is that when you're a leader, people don't wince while you're talking. Let us all hold on to that. Tyrants everywhere I look, man.
Right.
Okay. And then we're going to end with the Nine of Cups. Nine of Cups. The man in this card, or in this case, cat in this card, would say, "You know, I don't even have to look over my shoulder to count my blessings. I'm certain of them. I know that even if one cup fails or falls and spills, the other eight will be enough to sustain me. And I will fill the fallen cup back up to the brim as soon as I'm able." Okay, someone is confident. I am
Right.
grateful, I am joyful, I am satisfied with life and with my place in it. When we talk about the nines, the awareness goes to all corners of our life. This includes happiness when everything is okay. I feel strongly that when you're grateful for what you have, the universe gives you more to be grateful for. Not stuff necessarily, but good people, a safe home, and you know, enough. This card is not about being rich or having big puffy shirt. It's about being satisfied, and having enough. And even more so, it's about being grateful for what you've got. I like that. I'm
Yeah,
pretty grateful.
That's
I have
not a
a
bad
pretty good
card.
sense. I'm liking that. So apparently things are looking up from what isn't our rock bottom. So things are looking up. And then I guess basically we have to be the emperor in our own lives to make sure shit gets done. Because that's kind of like the, you know, it's going to get done.
Right.
Someone's got to do it. So you fucking do it. Put your
Right.
big girl pants on.
Yes.
Oh, hey, it's almost like this should have been a female card. But whatever.
Right.
And then we're just going to maintain our joy and our satisfaction in that we are enough, we have enough, we are satisfied, and we are grateful. And then we're going to go get more.
Yes.
So that's your week, according to my terrible tarot reading skills. You're welcome. And we end with next week's topic, Claire.
Yes.
Do you have a hope? Do you have a prayer? Do you have a need? Is it,
I mean,
what's it gonna be? Okay. That's fine. Paranormal. It's paranormal! Yay! I like those because then it's just whatever my little heart desires. Bah,
Right, as I
ah,
started
ah,
to say.
ah. So, very exciting. Well, you'll have to join us again next week when we bring you some stories of paranormal things. Woo!
I know. It'd be great.
But until then, you can find us in all the things and at all the places at
Brunch and Judge.
Please follow, like, comment, subscribe. Let us know what you like, what you hate. And you can send us any story ideas that you have or any topics for our wheel to us at
brunchandjudge@gmail.com.
So until next time, keep on brunching.
And keep on judging.
And be badass women in history.
That's right.